You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Rich Eisen Show.
You ever done anything dangerous?
Oh my God!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Cooper Rush.
Rush MVP on?
And so is exactly the, the question.
Look it up.
Do we have a quarterback controversy?
Hey, everybody, safe travels home.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer, head football coach from Jackson State University, Deion Sanders, NFL Network host, Colleen Wolf. Coming up from NBC's Quantum Leap, actor Ernie Hudson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. The actor Ernie Hudson is making his way into the studio on tomorrow's show. Josh Duhamel will walk in here. It'll be a tough two shot for the kid. Not going to be honest with you.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie. I'm always honest with you. Pardon me. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Anything that you missed, whether it was Deion Sanders in hour one or Colleen Wolf stopping by in studio in hour number two, check it out on Roku, the Roku channel. As soon as this show is over, it re-airs right away and then keeps doing so until we show up tomorrow live on 12 to 3 Eastern, as we are every single day on the Roku channel, which you can get for free on all Roku connected devices. Also you can get it on Samsung smart TVs, you can get it on Amazon Fire TV, you can also get it on a Roku app, any mobile device that the Roku app is on. You can get it on any desktop or laptop connected to the internet, therokuchannel.com. It's free. All of it is free. Thrilled to be here on Sirius Channel 218, XM Channel 202, the Terrestrial Radio Network Coast to Coast, the Odyssey app. And then, of course, we say hello to our podcast listeners listening whenever they darn well please, as is their right. Go get our podcast that is put out there by the Cumulus Podcast Network, where all podcasts are acquired. We'd appreciate that. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show is a nice backstop as well. Our full, soon-to-be 8-year archive is sitting there, YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Ernie Hudson, the actor, going to be, as I said, making his way into the studio in about 17 minutes' time. Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo in their posts. And my buddy TJ Jefferson is sitting in his spot, as always, right here to kick off hour number three of this program. We just had the greatest Bill Belichick press conference moment ever, still to come. Tua, salty Tua, that I've been advocating to show up more and more and more for the Dolphins. He showed up in a big way in front of a microphone. Big way. Can't wait to play that soundbite for you. It's awesome. It's exactly what I've been calling for. Exactly. Can't wait. That's coming up at the end of this hour. My power rankings, that's coming up in just a couple minutes. I do want to talk about this. Maybe we've gotten lost in the Aaron Judge chase for 61 that's been going on for a week. And watching as much as I can to see if he's going to do it, and he has yet to do it. Might have missed this one. Certainly when the New York sports story is in the direction of Aaron Judge, and the Yankees did just clinch the American League East and thus a bye week in the playoffs and clinched home field advantage for the divisional series against, I'm assuming, either Cleveland or Seattle. Might have missed Richard Blyer. Did you see this last night, TJ Jefferson, of the Miami Marlins?
I did not see them because I can't get the channels.
Okay. Last night, Richard Blyer of the Miami Marlins, I think facing Pete Alonso with Jeff McNeil on first, got called for a balk not once, not twice, but three times in the same at-bat.
Man, I saw this.
I heard it. I didn't see it.
I saw Mattingly go nuts.
Why not? Well, I mean, as you know, Don Mattingly has already, two things. announced that he's not going to return as manager next year in a mutual agreement. And two, he's the greatest human being ever created. Donald Arthur Mattingly, who I adore so much. That is my daughter's middle name is Mattingly. And so...
Donnie Baseball.
He should get thrown out.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's not like the guy's all twitchy. I guess he didn't come to a full, complete stop or whatever.
I guess so.
And here's the crazy thing. You're not allowed to argue a balk call.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I never knew
that. That's automatic ejection. I guess they, you know, the baseball umpires have seen how viral the Earl Weaver with Bill Haller video that just turned 42 years old, him arguing a balk call in 1980 was.
But is it reviewable?
No. It's like a ball or strike. It's a total judgment call.
Judgment,
you can't argue
it.
The minute you argue it, you're immediately ejected.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And it's just.
That's ridiculous.
It's just like. I don't know. It's just the first base umpire just basically say, all right, you got a problem with the first one? Wait till you see the next two. just, I don't know.
Just to get mad at
I've never
going.
Seen anything like that in my entire life. I thought, you know, the baseball moment I might be talking about today is Aaron Judge going for 61 again because he's being walked nonstop. And I know you think he should be swinging the bat more. And I as a Yankee fan, I'm like, you know what? Sorry, Maris family. Sorry. Everybody else, I don't want him changing a single ounce to his approach.
If you're the Maris family, do you just stop going to the games?
No, you can't. You got to go.
I don't know. Whoever's filling in at work for them or whatever. I mean, it's also – it's got to – I mean, they got great seats. I'm sure the hotel's nice.
But they're in Toronto now.
For one more night. Then they're off, and then it's a Friday home series against the Orioles.
After a while, they got to be tired of it. I'm sorry.
And Judge might be sitting there feeling the weight of the pressure on it that he's schlepping the Maris family around. But if it's a ball, it's going to be a ball. And that's the way it's been all year long. That's why he's leading the American League in hitting right now and can be a Triple Crown winner. Is because he's spitting on those balls that are diving out of the zone. And he hadn't been doing that. And the last thing I want him to do is start trying to cut it loose.
Yeah.
Just stay to your approach.
It's going to come.
Because guess what? The approach got him 60. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Agreed.
So, but how about that? Three balk calls on the same at bat.
I thought it was
apparently last time that happened was in the 90s.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen it. Don't remember any
just
of that.
Like, you know, part of me is just like, I guess a balk is a balk. Another part is me like, nobody's coming to Citi Field to watch the first base umpire
yeah.
in a call three straight balks. I mean, that's just so weird. And of course, Mattingly's going to get ejected. Why shouldn't he? It's just like, come on, enough is enough is enough. What are you doing?
I've watched thousands of innings of baseball until this day. I can't tell you what definitively a balk is.
Yeah,
everyone's motion now is so different and unconventional.
Look, and I'm loath to criticize umpires because it just gets tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher in this era where their jobs are on the line that they're going to essentially. From what I've been told about the automatic strike zone, that basically they'll still be behind home plate. It's just they're going to have, like, the pitchers have the pitch comm in their ear so they can hear what the call is.
Strike.
It's that it will be an instant computer-generated ball strike set in their ear, and they're just the conduit to raise their arm or not make a move.
That stinks.
And that's what's coming. So I can't imagine how that must truly suck for these guys who have spent so many days, months, years, hours, manpower, blood, sweat, tears of trying to get to this level. And all of a sudden, they're like, okay, now you're just the conduit to just raise your arm or not. That said, it's just, I don't know. Three balks like that in a row. And then all of a sudden, you're not allowed to argue it. I saw a video this morning. I guess it was on this date that Jackie Robinson stole home plate against the Yankees in the World Series. And I saw that play, and, you know, Yogi Berra argued it immediately. He jumped up. You can look in the video. He jumped up and started, went face to face with the home plate umpire. And the home plate umpire, you know what he did? He just walked away. He kept trying to walk away as Yogi was following him. Now, I'm sure the magic words in the 40s weren't as maybe inventive as they are today, or 50s, whenever it was. But, I just thought to myself, you know, umpires just don't walk away. They got too much rabbit ears. They're yelling back at people, and there's a lot of quick hooks that I'm seeing. And now you can't argue a balk. Go figure that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Okay, it's a Wednesday here. It's an NFL season, by the way. It's time for my power rankings, and, you know, I'd like a drop created, and I've got an idea for it. I want the private pile line from Full Metal Jacket. There are many. This is my power rankings. There are many like it, but this one is mine. You know, and I'll just maybe we just dub in the word power rankings in the line. I'm the private pile of power rankings is basically what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
The next time D'Onofrio comes in, we
can do it. Yeah, these are my power rankings. There are many like it, but this one is mine. Mike Del Tufo, thank you very much for the music. Number 10 on my list of my top 10 in the power rankings, I'm going with the 49ers. I'm not quitting them. I like them. I think their defense is really, really good. I love their defense. And just when you count them out, Jimmy G steps out of bounds. He looks like this. He looks like that. Ooh. Guess what? Jimmy G, I mean, everybody who thinks that the Niners stink now has been saying, well, Jimmy G's back. Trey Lance is going to hear the footsteps. And then he comes in a game and actually wins. And all of a sudden, hey, Jimmy G, the Niners could win the Super Bowl. And then all of a sudden, he looks like he did in the second half with Trent Williams going down. All of a sudden, we're discarding the 49ers. Not me. They're in my top 10.
A one-win team is 10th?
That's right.
Backup QB?
These are my power rankings, pal.
Oh, yeah. How's that feel,
The way I look at power rankings is, will this team beat that one? Will this team beat that one? Will this team beat that one?
There's only 9 better teams than the 49ers?
And the Bengals are the 9th one. Another one.
The Cincinnati Bengals?
Yes. Yes. They're that good.
They're the 13th team in the AFC.
I don't care what they are.
Are you going through this season or last season?
I'm going through this season right now. I think the Bengals are that good. Yeah, come for Joe Burrow. Why don't you? Come for him.
Well, we did. We came for Joe Burrow, Rich. Micah came, okay?
He came.
I like the Bengals. I think they're getting better, and I'm not ready to jump off that train either.
Cowboys better be like top 3.
The Cowboys aren't even in the list. Well, this list is sit down.
This list is fugazi.
They're not even on it.
I'm going to go get a tea right now.
They're not even on it. The Niners would beat the Cowboys. And next week, I know Dwight the Bengals just lost to them. Too bad. I like the Bengals better than the Dallas Cowboys.
This is great.
Number 8, I'm taking the Ravens. Remember I said that they have the sneakiest good passing attack? Guess who leads the league in passing? That guy.
Yeah. Lamar.
10 of them.
He's on our fantasy team.
Okay. Yeah. The defense frightens me a little bit, but I like the Ravens. Yeah. And this Ravens-Bills game this week, what a great marquee event in week four early window. Yeah, yeah. Number 7 of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I have the Bucs right here. Their championship defense is really good, really stout, and I truly believe they're going to get better on offense just because not only it's Tom Brady, but Mike Evans is back. They're going to get healthier, and I truly like the Bucs, and I'm not jumping off the ship. That's a phrase. Of the team that I think is going to win the NFC and make in the Super Bowl. Number 6 of the Green Bay Packers. The Packers are 6th. Aaron Rodgers looked terrific week 2 against the team that he owns. And then week 3 looked terrific in quarter number 1. And again, that defense is no joke. And that offense is going to get better. And they're healthier on the offensive line. And I love their championship quality defense as well. I think the Rams, though, would beat them in a straight-up game right now if the Rams played the Packers, and I think that matchup is coming up very shortly. I'm choosing the Rams as my 5th team now that we're entering the top 5. I'd like the Rams. Cam Akers lives, everybody. He lives, and I know he fumbled on the goal line, but this kid lives and showed you how different this offense can look if he is doing what he did at times against the Cardinals. And I like the Rams, man, and I'm taking them as my 5 seed. Number 4 are the Chiefs. I do like the Chiefs still. I'm concerned about this offense now. That's now 2 games in a row since they went on a boat race parade to open the season in Arizona. That's 2 games in a row in which they've struggled and made mistakes and so on and so forth. And so I guess what the championship Chiefs showed up in week 1 and the team that got bounced last year because they were struggling and making too many mistakes on offense showed up in weeks 2 and 3. They're still 2-1. They're still Mahomes. It's still Andy Reid, and I'm taking the Chiefs 4. Number 3 are the 2-0 Eagles. Number 3 are the 2-0 Eagles. I know that they're number 1 on a lot of people's lists.
Well, they're undefeated.
They are undefeated. But the Philadelphia Eagles are 3-0, and I think we all know why they're 3-0. I love Jalen Hurts, and right now my Eagles, your Eagles, are my number 3 team on that list. Number 2 are the Dolphins. They're number two on the list.
Right,
they're
3-0.
And number one, I don't care that they just lost.
They just lost.
Just because power rankings are, this team's got to be better than that one.
Well,
because
that's
they just
the
beat them. I understand. I'm still on the Bills. I saw a Bills team that was depleted all over the place and then physically depleted so much so that their best receiver was cramping left and right. That team went into Miami and that team ran out of time.
What are you smoking, bro? Give me some.
Fine. No problem. give me that all you want. I'm still on the Buffalo Bills as the best team. We had Dane Orlovsky on yesterday talking about the Eagles looking the best on film as the best offensive operation and talking about how great the Dolphins are. I'm like, so in other words, you're saying that the Buffalo Bills are not the best team in the NFL? Oh, no, they're the best team in the NFL, was his answer, which is why they're number one on my power rankings list. Run, tell that.
The Dolphins literally played a couple drives with Teddy Bridgewater and survived.
I understand. Your power rankings are yours. Mine are mine. You're free to call. And you're free to sound like these jamokes are. Dropping drops on me, thinking that I'm high. All of that stuff. That's my power rankings for week number three going into four.
Check out mine and TJ's Power 5 at our YouTube page.
YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for substandard power rankings. See, like yours.
You should be trying to hype us up, and yet you're always trying to make us seem less than.
You're giving me
less than.
Dude, you're doing real-time like boos. You're jeering me.
Doesn't that make you like throw you off when you're trying to do a segment and someone in the peanut gallery is just throwing stuff at
That's
you while you're doing
man. I can handle it.
Can you? Because you seem a little tossed off a little right now. And plus, we stopped.
I'm tossed up? Is that what you just said?
Tossed off a little bit.
All right, let's see. Teams with two wins.
Oh, it's London week, huh? Okay.
No Jacksonville in the top 10?
Not yet.
Come on, Rich.
Oh, my gosh.
Not yet.
Well, we're the Cowboys.
Jeez, no Broncos?
No.
How dare you not have the Cowboys
no
in
No Cowboys,
there?
No Giants, no Vikings, no Bears.
Just because their records are better doesn't mean they're better teams,
You are what
Chris.
Your record is, Rich.
I understand that, but not yet. It's week three still. I mean, these are my power rankings.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
These guys are egging me
Wait, out. Why didn't you put the Raiders in your top 10?
The Raiders. Yeah, you got it. You're on that ship, B. You got it.
Nice.
The captain goes down with the ship, Rich.
Don't cry in your Bailey Zappi soup.
I might get a Bailey Zappi jersey.
You should. Do they exist?
He could make one.
I'd have to make one.
Zappy.
Go to Zappy.com.
I got
to
say.
Zappy.com.
Don't even know what number he is.
All right.
10, probably.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial.
Oh, max 10.
Just
Never
a reminder max. That you can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. If it's the NFL, it's on Westwood One.
He's number four.
When we come back on this show, the actor Ernie Hudson. Can't wait to meet him and get to chat with him with his terrific career. One of the stars of the new Quantum Leap when we come back.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We're talking about Quantum Leap with Ernie Hudson as our terrestrial radio audience is back here on the Rich Eisen Show, the actor here in studio. It's interesting that you mentioned that your older sons, the original Quantum Leap, you would watch it with them. My two older sons watching Sunday Night Football, seeing the commercials alike, they want in. They see it. So I don't know what it is. It's just they're into the idea. It's pretty cool.
It's a great idea. I mean, the thought of at a time when we really do need to understand what the other person is thinking.
Yes.
The idea of being able to step in, not only step in someone else's shoes, but to literally be in their world during a, you know, a time of crisis and seeing decisions made, but being able to better understand why they made those decisions.
Yeah.
And it forces you out of judgment. And I think that's what appeals to people.
And that might be needed a little bit in our times, huh?
I think it's needed a whole lot in our times because it's so easy to slip into feeling like you know exactly what's going on and discrediting the other side, you know. So it takes a little bit of effort to say, you know what, maybe I'm not seeing everything.
Quantum Leap star Ernie Hudson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Again, it can be checked out on NBC Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Fun stuff. Kids can watch it. Family viewing. It's so rare these days to have something like that. So check it all out on Monday night. So are you a Michigander? Are you from the state of Michigan?
I'm from the state of Michigan, yeah. Born and raised.
Okay. You know, all right.
Southwestern Michigan, Benton Harbor.
Okay.
Shout out to
that's
Benton
right
Harbor.
Near Kalamazoo. Is it right
near
around
Kalamazoo?
There?
Yeah,
so just right south around of Western Michigan, right around there.
Yeah, yeah, directly across the lake from Chicago.
Okay.
Back in the 30s, I think they had a boat that went from Chicago to Benton Harbor, which was a resort community at the time.
Okay.
Went to college, left Benton Harbor, went to college in Detroit. And so spent a lot of years in Michigan.
At UD, is that where you went to? University
no,
of
Wayne
Detroit?
State. Went to Wayne State.
Wayne State.
Yeah.
Were they called the Tartars then? Is that what they were? I think that they might have been, or that could be another school in that town. I went to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
Yeah. My oldest son my oldest son went to Michigan State. My ex-wife got her master's from the University of Michigan.
Okay.
So we spent a little time in Ann Arbor.
Well, I mean, it's just a beautiful town.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful.
I'm from New York City. So going to school in Ann Arbor, Ernie Hudson, was an eye-opener, especially since, you know, I would, you know, say I wanted to drink a soda, and they would look at me like I was crazy, and then, or I was wearing sneakers, and they would call it pop and tennis shoes.
Oh, yeah.
The sprinkles or jimmies, you know, it was quite an education for me that it wasn't.
Well, Ann Arbor would be an educator. I'm just down the road in Detroit, and so I went to Wayne State. But when we got to the University of Michigan, it was an eye-opener for me as well. It's a great city. Very different, you know, college town, but very, very special.
Did you ever find yourself in old Tigers Stadium? Did you ever go to a game back in the day in the old Tigers Stadium?
You know, when I was in college, I was, a dad with two kids and had to pay the rent and keep things going.
So baseball
going.
Was not happening?
No. I gotta work. I had to, I love the Tigers, but I always had to do double duty, you know, and in addition to going to school, I also had to work. Also, to work a job, to do theater, to try and get an education was full-time.
Wow.
And be a dad.
So I was about to say, just try to make ends meet, you tried acting.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is I heard all the things about the impossibility of being an actor, but once I really committed to acting, I've pretty much been able to make a living doing that since 66.
Damn straight you have. And I've got a whole bunch of questions about your career that we have put out here in a segment called Celebrity True or False, which we do with a lot of our celebrity guests, and you absolutely qualify as such. Aspects of your filmography or TV career or things that you've said, and we just want to know if it's true or false, what we see on the internet.
Okay,
here we go. And then we have some great, again, production value to it. Go for it, please.
Celebrity, true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
All right, here we go. Celebrity True or False with Ernie Hudson. Were you impressed by our production?
I was very impressed.
Okay,
I am impressed.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. True or False, earlier in your career, you were in episodes of Fantasy Island, The White Shadow, and Taxi.
Yes.
That triple play is correct.
That is correct.
Okay. So who are you on the, we're showing The White Shadow up on the screen right here.
Right.
Who are you in The White Shadow? Do you remember that?
Well, all those guys you saw in that photo, they were on the series and they had a full-time job. Yes. I was the guy who kind of came in for the episode.
Oh, no, you're all guesting on these shows, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I was guessing on it. So I wasn't
in that
photo.
I'm sure you weren't welcoming the plane in Fantasy Island every single week.
Ernie. I think in The White Shadow, I had a scene where I walked up to the concession stand and ordered some popcorn. I think that's pretty much what
that was
I did. That was pretty much what I did. on the White Shadow. I think. I mean, it might have been more than that.
Okay.
That's all I remember. I remember ordering popcorn.
Okay.
The White Shadow.
And the Fantasy Island?
Fantasy Island, yeah. I played a voodoo priest who had this dance with a snake. And I remember one of my best friends who was a dancer.
Yes.
Our friendship broke up because he was insulted that they hired me, an actor, to do this dance. And
oh my goodness!
But but it was really one of the highlights of my 50 plus years was working with Ricardo Montalban, because I got on the show and he came to my dressing room and welcomed me and just really, I sent him a thank you note after. The only actor I've ever sent a thank you note to.
No kidding.
So special.
So wait a minute. You're saying Mr. Rourke himself welcomed you to Fantasy Island?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, because I'm like, I'm just starting out. I'd stayed in my dressing room and they had all these celebrities. And I was like, okay, I just, and he's like, he opened the door and says, welcome. This is on the show. Welcome to Fantasy Island. And he says, come. And he took me around and introduced me to everybody. And
that's how you met Tattoo for the first time?
I don't think Tattoo was quite as ingratiating, but Ricardo, he had lunch with me, and I thought, wow, man, this is
okay.
And then I saw him a little before he passed away, and he pretended that he remembered me. I'm not sure if he did, but he was so gracious about it.
That is so nice. Wonderful. Yeah. All right, second one for you. True or false, Ernie Hudson, you had to move out of your Los Angeles apartment after Ghostbusters was released because too many fans of the film came to visit. True or false?
That's true. Sadly, that's true.
What happened?
Well, you know, I had this apartment, and it was right off of Pico and Robertson, which is a, you know, pretty busy area.
Yeah.
But if you went to the drugstore up on the corner or the gas station, they'd say, hey, you see that movie Ghostbuster? You know, Ernie Hudson, yeah, he lives right at...
Get out of here.
Yeah, and people would show up 10 o'clock at night with their families. Oh, my God, I can't believe it's you. They knock on the door, and I open the door, and they try to peek in, and... You know, we just got here from Ohio, and we just, you know, the first movie star we saw, and come on, this is him. And it happened a lot. So people, that space, and then I realized why people, you know, buy behind gates, because that sense of people feel a bit of, it's okay to sort of show up at your house.
At your door.
Yeah.
My God. So did you ever go to the person in the drugstore, say, hey, how about not pointing out
yeah,
where my spot
but I
is?
Think, well, I might have, but you know, I tend to want to be nice about it. Like, you know okay. what? This, maybe so you, I don't need, people don't need to know where. They're so proud of you. Yeah, I'm so proud. I told everybody you're in the movie.
Yeah. How did you get that script? How did that arrive in your world, Ernie Hudson?
Well, I first heard about Ghostbusters. I was on an elevator at Cedar Sinai Hospital visiting a friend, and Ivan Reitman just happened to get on the elevator. I did a movie the year before called Space Hunter that Ivan produced, and I saw Ivan. We said hello. He told me he was doing this movie, Ghostbusters, which I hadn't heard of, and he had Billy and Danny in it. I didn't know who Billy and Danny was, and then he said, but there's nothing in it for you.
That's what he said?
He said, and I'm like, okay, well, good luck with that. And then I hear there's a part that they're looking for. It's that, you know, it's a black character, but I couldn't get an interview for 3 months. Everybody I knew had gone in for this part, but I think the role I did in Space Hunter was Washington. He was bigger than light.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Ivan saw me as that guy, and it was not Winston. You know, Winston is not takeover and loud. At any rate, eventually I got an audition. I went in and I killed it. You know, actors out there will know when you just know when you just like, yeah. I mean, I just want to throw the script down and say, you know. But they liked me, and they had me come back in again to put me on tape. And I thought, you had a camera in there. I thought I was on tape, but we go back. And I went in about 6 times.
Wow.
Over probably about 2.5 months.
So you fought for it.
Yeah, they kept bringing me back. And it's almost like, we really don't want you, but let's look at him again. I shouldn't say that. But it's, yeah. So it took a long time. By the time I got the role in Ghostbusters, it was like, I couldn't even get excited about it. It's like, okay, they wore me out. But being a single dad, it was a role I knew I had to get this role. I had to get
life changing role, obviously, because you found out who Billy and Danny were.
I found out who Billy and Danny were.
You identified the aforementioned Billy and Danny, right. and who they were at the time. I mean, were you? What was it like on the set?
It was great. Yeah, no, the guys were amazing. Bill Murray, I consider a good friend from day one. He's always been very
right.
Harold Ramis. I mean, they're great guys. It was we rehearsed for about 4 weeks, I guess, maybe about a month in New York. They changed the scripts, which has always been a point of
contention
for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I've since made peace with that. Yeah, the shoot in New York was really amazing, but it was a growing experience for me. It was really a learning, growing experience, it was a fight. And even after the movie came out in that apartment,
yes,
they would get me to do a lot of press for the movie. That beast couldn't get the other guys to do it, but but that was a real challenge because they'd send the Ghostbuster car to that apartment, which also brought attention.
No,
they send the car because
Pecan Roberts and the Ghostbusters cars walking down the street.
Yeah, to take me to the Chinese theater in Hollywood, and the car would always break down. So we'd go and we'd do that, and we'd sign up, we'd jump back in the car and go 20 feet, and it would stop. Now we're standing out there. I'm in the Ghostbuster jumpsuit,
calling AAA,
and they're calling. Yeah, they're calling somebody
for a jump.
It was a weird time. It was just
amazing. You know. So that we have a celebrity true or false question about the movie. True or false, the jail scene in Ghostbusters was filmed in an actual prison reported to be haunted, and the dailies came back with unexplained scratches. Is that true or false?
I honestly have no idea.
Oh.
I would say, I can't even say false because I don't know. I mean, that might have
been. Could have been ghosts, could have been not.
Yeah.
Do you believe in ghosts after all these years?
Well, I believed in ghosts. Yeah, I've always believed in ghosts.
Okay.
You know, it would always makes me a little unsettled.
But you're not afraid of no ghosts, right?
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Okay.
But, you know, I would after Ghostbusters, because you get these weird things. Fans would invite me to come places to go. I got invited to come to Mississippi to do a ghost hunt at midnight.
And?
No, I'm not going to Mississippi at midnight with a bunch of people I don't know looking for ghosts at to night. Find out I'm the ghost that's being haunted. I know. But I get invited to a lot of haunted things that I know.
A couple more for you. Ernie Hudson, celebrity true or false, huge fan of yours and the show Oz. I mean, on the opposite end of one would call the Ghostbuster spectrum.
Yeah.
And Fantasy Island, things like that. True or false, you shot the first season of Oz in Manhattan at an old Oreo cookie factory. Is that true or false?
It might have been a factory, an Oreo cookie factory. I was never told that.
Okay.
We shot it in New York and in Chelsea.
Okay.
The first four seasons, I think, we shot in New York.
Okay. So you just never strolled into Gen Pop and saw some double stuff in the corner or something like that? Okay.
No, we had that place and they only rented. I think Oprah Winfrey for her production came and bought it and we got kicked out. So, which is why we had to go to New Jersey, but that's another story. But Oreo Cookie Factory, I'm not sure. It might've been.
What a show. What an unbelievable, gritty, totally... I guess what gritty gripping, but I felt like I went through the ringer after 60 minutes of that program.
Well, honestly, I couldn't watch the show at its time. It would come on like at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
And even being in the show, I'm like, I can't look at this and lay down. I mean, honestly, I'm...
You're right. I mean, like it's time to go to bed after that. Like, no way.
Yeah, no, right. But it was a blessing and it was a wonderful cast. They're all, for the most part, working and have gone on, have great careers, and I just feel so honored and blessed to have been part of Tom Fontana, the creator.
With Barry Levinson.
With Barry Levinson. Right. But Tom did St. Elsewhere, and I did a half season. Denzel Washington was my doctor. And so I met Tom on that, and when Oz came up, he called and said...
Is that right? So the connective tissue of your career... you doing Saint Elsewhere, when that happened, he's like, okay, Ernie Hudson's right for this role in Oz.
Well, he called and said, Ernie, it's his eye. He said, remember we always talked about working together? I didn't remember that, but I said, yeah. And he said, I'm doing this, and, you know, and would you like to? And, of course, I'm always honored and flattered and appreciative whenever someone just say they want to work with me without me having to dance for the role. And so the fact that, you know, he extended himself and invited me to come and play, and it turned out to be a wonderful experience.
I mean, the cast, as you pointed out, for sure. I mean, Rita Moreno in the cast, and then we've had J.K. Simmons in that chair a couple times on the show. And, you know, I didn't ask him this, so I'll ask you this, the last one on the celebrity True or False. True or False that real altercations with extras on the set of Oz broke out occasionally. Is that true or false?
That might be true. You know, I was a warden, so most people on good behavior when I was around. It was the weirdest thing. You know, part of my preparation for that character was I'd go there, and I'd go there in, you know, T-shirts, jeans, whatever, and everybody was like, hey, Ernie, and everybody's friendly. And then I go in, and I would always shine my shoes, and I get the suit on, and when I walk out, nobody spoke to me. It was, and not that I answer that, it's just everybody kind of backed up and...
Because you were
even the
warden?
Other actors, yeah, I guess I don't know something.
That's a method sort acting, of yeah.
Changed and
how about that?
Yeah, it was always weird. They kept a distance.
Were the table reads just like really intense too, or you were just around there and you and everybody looked at each other like, wow, this script is really out there.
Yeah, anything well, we like didn't that? We didn't get the table reads as much as we they would pass out the new script and then you see people go into different corners.
Huh.
And read because you didn't know what was coming because you didn't know who was going to die, who was going to get molested. You didn't know what was going to happen. So you finish it and you go, phew, I survived that one. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, you got it. You live for another episode.
You know, which you can imagine, I think the next to the last episode, I read it and I die. I'm like, what? Whoa, I can't die. I'm me. Well, how does that happen? But Tom Fontana and his surprises. But
that's interesting,
yeah,
to say the least. Great show, and just a lot of fun chatting with you, Ernie Hudson. Thank you for coming on this
program.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it.
My pleasure. Quantum Leap airs Mondays at 10 Eastern on NBC. The series premiere was last week. Check out Ernie Hudson in his latest here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back with more, certainly some great stuff on Tua from the Miami Dolphins. You don't want to miss it. That's coming up next on The Rich Eisen Show.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
2000, 2008, 2022. When it comes to the economy, these are some scary years I'm mentioning, right? And the roller coaster that we're on right now is the current one after the dot-com crash and housing crash of the previous years. Uncertain times, dangerous times. To not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting. You can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. It is why 93% of customers say they improved their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. Fun stuff today, huh?
That was very fun today.
Fun stuff.
Ernie Hudson, man.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you just got up and showed him a YouTube video of him on the Incredible Hulk,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, season two. So that had to be 78, 79.
I mean, how about Ricardo Montalban's the one welcoming you to Fantasy Island? Do you think he had, like, the white suit on when he did it?
Yes.
Probably.
I imagine he's not just sitting there in his leather, right?
Right, no. I imagine he slept in that
thing. I think he went right.
Like, don't you think he would have to get into costume and then to help get into character, he would just knock on the door of any of the guest stars or anybody who's guesting or a guest actor, right?
Yes. Like he comes up to
the
door.
He has to do it in his. Who is on that episode? Like, who are the other guest stars on
it? Fantasy.
And by the way, I'll just say this. I'll just say this. I'll just say this. I'm seeing the commercials for the new Love Boat. Right? Or what they're calling it, the real Love Boat?
Oh, is that a real
thing? Yeah. I'm seeing like Jerry O'Connell and Rebecca Romijn, right?
Oh, wow.
Are doing like they're hosting a real reality show of people trying to find love on a cruise.
Oh, now we're talking.
It's called The Real Love Boat. And I'm seeing that, and I'm like, with all due respect, it is not The Real Love Boat. If B. Arthur's not trying to hook up with Jack Klugman, it's not The Real Love Boat. You know what I mean? Yeah, honestly.
She was on like every other one.
Seriously, if Vic Tayback is not trying to find love with Phyllis Diller, that is not The Real Love Boat. I don't care. You cannot call it The Real Love Boat unless that's a possibility.
We were so excited to see who the guest stars are.
Adrian Barbeau must hook up with Telly Savalas. Yes. Otherwise, it's not The Real Love Boat. I don't care.
You knew the ending. It was always like...
They always got back together. My brother and I would sit there, believe it or not.
We
would sit there and we would just make, like, we would make a check sign to each other as they got back together. And I'm like, oh, that's another love. That's another match. It's another. We would literally do. That's a childhood memory of mine in the basement of Evan Joel's Staten Island Mance.
Exciting.
And by Mance, I mean a very small house.
Oh, come aboard.
It's not The Real Love Boat. I'm sorry.
We're expecting.
Oh, no, I think I've got one more left in me. Unless Tom Bosley.
Yes. Who you got?
Is going to, hold on. It's going to try and hook up with Angie Dickinson. It's not The Real Love Boat.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I know he's out kicking his coverage.
Who's the blonde from WKRP?
But that's what the original Love Boat was all about, out kicking your coverage. True. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Ernest Borgnine would have no shot anywhere unless it was on the Love Boat.
He's dead on.
Come on. Phil Silvers is going to find love? No.
But you know who would? Morgan Fairchild. She would find love on
him. With Phil Silvers.
Yeah. And it's like, how's like, you doing
up
this
with that?
What's up with that?
It's not The Real Love Boat right now. With all due respect to JOC.
That show was on 10 years. Yeah. Can you believe that?
Dude, of course it was. Yeah. Come aboard. Fantasy, we're expecting you.
Fantasy Island.
Get out of here, man.
Like
get out of here with that Real Love Boat stuff.
Saturday night.
That's what I do, sitting here watching commercials. I'm like, that's not The Real Love Boat.
Look, Vincent Price was on The Real Love Boat, man.
That's right. Right. You know?
You guys are crazy.
Okay. I love
it. Ever tell you my Morgan Fairchild pedicure story? I'll say that for another day.
That's a Mad Lib start.
Go ahead. Go, DJ.
That's a proper noun and noun that I didn't see filled in with Morgan Fairchild and pedicure.
I didn't think about it till just this moment.
We're all ears, Rex Ryan.
Oh,
my God.
Amazing.
Now, folks,
on this program,
we love being right. Oh, God, do we love being right?
Yeah.
The best thing is we love front loading you with what turns into a story. That's it. I found it. We front load you with what turns into a story and reality. Miami Dolphins. Did we see them going 3-0? No, of course not. We didn't refer to that. We're not referring to that. No. We're referring to salty Tua. Tua Tagovailoa, right? When he's throwing a Tyreek Hill in practice and they showed a video of it in practice and the ball's fluttering and Tyreek has to slow down to catch it. We're all like, okay. All right, Dolphins social media account. You're trying to make something out of nothing. What he said.
Oh, yeah.
And then Tua, then the next, practice like a week later, week and a half later, he's making a beautiful throw and he showed up. He started saying stuff like, I don't know about you, but I think that looks like money to me.
I don't know about
something
you.
Something like that.
Come on, Mike.
He can't find that.
I don't know about you, but that looks like money to me.
I don't know about you, but that looks like money.
Got too many things, but that's what he said. That's what he said. Okay. And I said, that's the salty Tua I need to see. I need to see Tua showing up. I need to see him with his beard going, and I need to see him just saying it with his chest. Salty Tua. Take control.
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
You found it. You prevented Salty Rich from appearing later
on.
There
we go.
Tyreek Hill this week. Apparently, he's got some beef with Eli Apple, who he's going to see in Cincinnati on Thursday Night Football. And Tyreek Hill, after going to 3-0, had this to say after the game in Miami after beating the Bills.
But yeah, we're looking forward to who we play.
Bengals.
We're looking forward to the challenge. It's gonna be fun, you know. And I can't wait to go against Eli Apple, man. I owe you, boy. I owe you. Ooh. I'm here. The cheetah is here. Let's eat.
Let's eat. He says as he's chewing gum.
Wow.
Okay. So Tyreek's got beef with Eli Apple, and Eli Apple's defensive back mates are saying we've got his back. But who's got Tyreek's back? Huh?
Mm.
Who's got the cheetah's back?
Somebody.
Well, the guy that Tyreek's been talking up. Do you think Tua Tagovailoa is going to go to the microphone and back Tyreek's play and say it with his chest and be salty while it's happening? That's not Tua. Unless he took in this show and I said, I want to see that Tua. Guess what we've seen? That Tua. Roll tape.
It's fuel to the fire for Tyreek. You know, he's a competitor, and he loves those kind of things. But for me, I mean, I'm not going to let any of that get into the way that I operate within offense. You know, if Tyreek is matched up with him and we call a play for Tyreek and it's one-on-one, I'm giving Tyreek a shot. Just know that he is getting the ball.
Yeah! Now, Tua,
wow.
Don't say that and preface it by like, I'm not going to get out of what the offense gives us. Just leave that part out. I'm not going to say whatever the defense gives us, that's the offense I'm going to run. But if we're one-on-one, he's getting the ball. Just say the one-on-one, he's getting the ball stuff. Just say it like that. Because I don't know about you, that sounds like money. That sounds like an undefeated quarterback with a Ferrari out there saying, I want the football, and him saying, I'm going to give it to you. Eli Apple, I dare the Bengals to not shade a safety in Tyreek's direction. Eli versus Tyreek, guess who's getting the ball? I'm letting you know that coming to Cincinnati. Yes, that's what I'm looking for. That's the way you go 3-0. That's the way you go 4-0. Yeah, baby. Front loading the story, and then it happens. And it's happening right before our eyes. Salty Tua blossoming. More of that. More. Yes, please.
Great game tomorrow.
He might be salty that he wasn't number one in someone's power rating.
No.
That's probably.
Yeah. If I'm feeding the fire?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying.
Great. Spell my name right. That's all I care.
Dickie Eyes.
We're back on the Roku channel in a moment. Everyone else, see you Thursday.